The title of my teaching today is Decision Making, Pray and Ponder. We all, just about every time in our life, have decisions that we're faced with, forks in the road or whatever, however you want to say it. Everybody, it's something that every human being is pretty much consistently faced with, is decisions. And I'm not necessarily talking about the little decisions of what am I going to wear today, but more of the bigger decisions. I wish that we would get to a point in life where we got old enough, where we didn't have decisions, or we got to a certain level of whatever, with age or time or whatever, that we didn't have decisions. But pretty much your entire life you have decisions to make. So this is going to be about pondering and praying about those decisions. Both very, very important parts of our decision making in life. So we're going to open up in Proverbs 4. This is kind of the verse that got me thinking about this. Proverbs 4:26 says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." That word ponder, I looked it up. It means to roll flat, as if you're preparing a road, which is very cool. It also means to revolve. And the example for that was to weigh mentally, to kind of roll the thoughts around in your mind, to weigh things mentally. So the Word of God tells us to ponder, to weigh the path of our feet. We're not supposed to be living our lives haphazardly. We're not supposed to be, we're faced with decisions and we just kind of let whatever happens, happen. That's not what this is saying to do. This is saying it's our responsibility to ponder things, to weigh mentally what is in front of us. The reason that's so important is because this world, we know from Ephesians, is on a course set for destruction by the devil. And so, not necessarily every time, but if we are to just let whatever happens happen without pondering our path, not all of our paths are going to go in a good, godly, righteous way because of the course of this world, because the adversary has strategically set things to where if we are oblivious to what we're doing, we're going to go down a path for destruction. So it says to ponder the path of our feet and let all of our ways be established, to have reasons behind what we choose to do. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. So once we make that decision, once it's established, we don't turn, we don't go back and forth with our decision, and also remove thy foot from evil. Which kind of goes along with being haphazard and letting things happen as they happen. Being on that course of the world is when we don't do that and we choose what we're going to do, when we mentally figure out what we're going to do, is part of removing our foot from evil, is removing ourselves from the course of the world. So the first part of all that we're going to look at is this pondering. And so if you want, you can think about some decisions that you're faced with. I know, you know, we all have decisions that we're facing with right now. Rich and I have decisions that we're facing with. Like one specifically is, okay, our house is for sale, and we don't know where we're going to live next. Whether it's up the road, whether it's 20 minutes away, whether it's 20 hours away, whether it's another country, who the heck knows? I don't know. And I'll speak for myself. I'm so used to just praying and expecting God to just give me the answer. Sometimes He does that, but the Word of God tells us to ponder things, ponder the path of our feet. So He wants us to use our own reasoning and for us to do some mental weighing of things. So I wrote down just some questions that are good to ask ourselves as we're pondering the paths that are before us. The first one, which is most important, what would God have me do? When we're weighing things out, questioning things, what would God have me do should always be at the top of our list. We can pray and ask God to show us His will for our situation. Also, we seek God's written word to see if there are any scriptures that can apply directly to our situation. Sometimes there are. Sometimes there are things that apply directly to what we're faced with. Other times there's not, because our lives have so many random decisions that we're faced with. Sometimes there's not a specific verse that's going to say, this is wise, this is unwise. But sometimes there are, and we definitely need to keep that first with prayerfully asking God for Him to show us if He's got a specific will that He wants us to do with this fork in the road. And then also, if He's already written something down, that's His will for our lives. And it's our job to diligently seek that out and to say, this is your will in this situation. I found it in your word, and I'm going to obey that. And then we know that it's always going to be the right path. Another question to ask is, how will the people around me be affected by my decision? Sometimes this is a very important thing to ask. Other times it's not the most important thing to base a decision on, but it's definitely still good to think about. We want to ask ourselves, am I going to hurt anyone directly or indirectly by my decision? Because God cares for people. God cares for all the people that are in our lives. Will I be placing a stumbling block in front of anyone? The word tells us not to place a stumbling block in front of our brothers and sisters. Am I going to be choosing something that's going to cause someone else to be confused or let down or mistrust God for lack of understanding of the situation, for whatever, you know? Again, not something to solely base our decisions on, but definitely something to ponder. Let's see, a couple more questions. Are there any people that should be involved in weighing this decision with me? If you're married, you want to involve your spouse in not necessarily every decision that you make, but in a lot of decisions, because we're so affected by each other. Are there any people impacted so directly that they should have a say in the decision? Older children sometimes can be asked their opinions if the decision is a family matter. Is there an elder or any brother in Christ that you feel comfortable including in your decision? Sometimes it's good to have more people in on whatever decisions we're facing. Turn a couple pages to Proverbs 11. Verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So sometimes it's good to involve other people. Again, this is not for every decision at every time, but just some things to ponder, some things to think about as we're pondering this. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Ask people that you trust. Ask people that are going to be affected by your decision. That is a good godly thing to do sometimes. A couple other questions. Are there any irreversible parts to this decision? How permanent is this decision? And what are the immediate and long-term ripples going to be with this decision? So those are just some examples of questions that we ask, how to mentally ponder, weigh things out. I want to look at Matthew 7. We're going to read through a few verses on seeking God for help with our decisions. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, of whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So God is telling us, just ask, just seek, and just knock. It shall be given you, you shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. Turn to Proverbs 3. These are all verses we know. So we don't want to just ponder, because we're so limited. We're so incredibly limited with our mental capacities. I don't care how smart I think I am. I can't figure everything out. I'm incredibly limited, which is why seeking other counselors helps. And absolutely every single time, if there's a decision that we're faced with, we should always ask God. We should always be knocking, seeking, and asking. Because God's wisdom is smarter than his foolishness. What is it? His foolishness is smarter than the wisdom of man, the wisest man. So it would be to our own detriment to not have his counsel absolutely with our decisions. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Back in Matthew, it was, it shall be opened unto you. you shall find, ask, and you shall have. This is, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. These are absolutes. He's going to direct us. Turn to James chapter 1. Let me grab something to drink. So acknowledging God is, a couple ways to do that is, again, seeking his word for wisdom that he's already written down, his revealed will to us that's already written, and also through prayer. Prayer is definitely a big part of it. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Again, this is an absolute. It's cool because when I was putting those two verses together, I didn't even realize that each one of them had the word shall be all through the verses. I mean, we should have no question in our mind that God's going to help us with things that we seek him on. Acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Ask wisdom. It shall be given to him. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Ask, and you shall have. There really should be no question in our mind that we can get God's help with our decisions. One thing I was thinking about with this verse is, I kind of always thought this verse was like, ask for wisdom and you're going to get it. Meaning, ask God for help with something, and he's going to give you the answer. It's not what it's saying. He's going to direct your path. He's going to give you wisdom. Wisdom is really the means to figuring the answer out. He absolutely can just tell you the answer, but that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying he'll give you wisdom when you ask for it. Wisdom is being able to know what to do. But it's not saying he's going to give you the answer. So just a small little difference there. But very cool to know about when we are expecting to hear that from God. Same thing with God directing our path. You know, God can just tell you walk forward without telling you where exactly you're going. without getting into all of that, because that's a whole nother thing, is, but that's how God likes to walk with us. He doesn't necessarily want to tell you where you're going, because then you're just going to go there on your own sometimes. But if we're seeking Him for every single step that we take, then He's along for the ride, and that's what He wants. He wants to be there. He wants us to absolutely depend on Him for every step of the way, which should give us some peace if we're not hearing an exact answer. Because sometimes that's just not what God does. Sometimes He just wants you to walk with Him, take one step at a time. But anyways, back to how absolute these things are that God is saying, His help, His wisdom, His direction. Still, our minds throw out these excuses, these reasonings, like... I wrote down some examples. Yeah, but I'm so thick-headed sometimes, God cannot get through to me. Has anyone here said that? Yeah, I've said it. I've also said, you know what, I'm just not peaceful enough to hear that still small voice. I just can't get my thoughts peaceful enough to hear that still small voice. Or even just flat out, I'm just not very good at hearing from God like other people are. I'm not there yet to be able to hear from God. Those things are all ridiculous. I have a list of examples that we're just going to buzz through later of people that God has worked with. And I'm not going to show you like their stupidity or their hard-headedness, but just the vast resources that God has to get through to us. Because yes, we are thick-headed. Yes, we are unpeaceful sometimes. We are, but you know what? It is prideful to think that our thick-headedness is bigger than God's ability to get through to us. That's raising ourselves above God. God is not limited by our stupidity. I mean, you think of the example of a shepherd and sheep. Sheep are stupid animals. Stupid, stupid animals. That shepherd is not limited by that sheep's stupidity with guiding them. Those sheep are still guided by the shepherd. So, let's see. We do need to control our thought. We need to know how big God is, but we also need to control our thoughts. When we do start thinking those things, God can still get through to us. We don't have ourselves together. Because if that were the case, no one would ever hear from God. But it is for our best interest to really control those thoughts, to really snap them and say, no, I ask God for help with this. I am confident that He will guide me. That's really when we get our best information from God, and when we really are able to walk with God. Let's turn to Jeremiah 10. I didn't really mean this teaching to turn into man's really stupid like a sheep. But this next verse is kind of saying it too. It's really good. It's really good though, because yes, we're really supposed to ponder, use our own wisdom, use our brains, figure out, not just expect God to spoon feed us everything, because He gave us the word. He gave us reasoning facilities. And we're supposed to know why we're choosing to do something or not do something. That's what that verse says. Ponder your path, let your ways be established. But we are so limited by just doing that. We really, really, really need to really seek God with all of our decisions. It's not one or the other. It's not seek God and expect Him to just, like, throw down every answer to everything in life. I don't want Gabe to do that with me. I want to teach him to take my wisdom and learn how to live his life righteously. I know I'm not God, but I think God does that too. He gave us an entire book of stuff that we can look at to figure things out. Anyways, I don't know where I got off with all that. We're going to read Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, and is not in man that walks to direct his steps. That's pretty blunt there. We do our best to reason things, but we can't always figure things out. We're going to hold this thought and turn to 1 Kings. So, it's not in man that walks, what does it say? To direct his steps. However, when God is involved, things are different. 1 Kings 3. And starting in verse 9, this is Solomon. Everyone knows who Solomon is. He was like the wisest man ever. This is when God asked him. Okay, verse 5 says, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And then it goes on, and we're going to read verse 9. This is Solomon's response. So God says, what do you want from me? Solomon asked God, verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And then verse 12, this is God saying, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So as far as not in man to direct his steps, this was a man that was able to discern good and evil. He not only directed his own steps incredibly successfully with the wisdom that God gave him, but also he made decisions and discernment for the entire kingdom because God gave him that ability. We're going to turn next to Matthew 12. And I'll make a point after we read this one. Mm-hmm. If I can get there. Matthew 12, verse 42. Okay, so it says, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Okay, so the queen of the south is what's her name? Who was it? Sheba. Sheba. Thank you, Richard. Sheba came from far away because she heard of this man, Solomon. Is he asleep? Okay. Because she heard of Solomon's wisdom. She came all the way across however far it was, and it was a long way, to hear this man's wisdom. And then the end of the verse, this is the, I read this and I thought about it and I was like, wow. It says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When we think of Solomon, the first two words that pop into my head are riches and wisdom. Wisdom. I think Solomon, I think wisdom. This verse is saying a greater than Solomon is here. You know who Christ is referring to? Himself. When I think Christ, the first word that pops in my mind is like love and kindness and walking with God. It's not wisdom. Jesus Christ was wiser than Solomon. That's awesome. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he sought God's word and he prayed. So, going back to Jeremiah with this thought of it's not in man to direct his steps, it's not in natural man to direct our own steps. With all of our pondering, we still are not smart enough to figure everything out. But man with the Spirit of God in Christ, in us, we can say that we can walk with the wisdom and discernment of Solomon. Wow. That's pretty outrageous. Pretty outrageous. So I wrote down, it's kind of cool because I found a list online of ways that God can direct you. And I added a bunch to it, but it's really cool to look at all these different ways. I'm sure we know these, but to have them all in one list and to hear them all at one time. And these are just examples. God has absolutely limitless ways to get through to us. When we ask Him, when we seek, when we knock, when we acknowledge Him, He has limitless ways to direct us. He can lead you to a specific scripture. So it's like, okay, I want to seek God's word for this situation. I don't know the entire Bible. This is a big old book. You know what? He can show you. He can direct you in His word to show you to where you can find understanding for your situation. He can also do it through other people's teaching. He can work in another person to knowingly or unknowingly show you an answer to what you're seeking. That's very cool when that happens. Where I've got this decision in my head, I'm struggling on something, I don't know what I'm doing, and then Rob just in conversation says something to me, and I go, God was working in Rob to say that because he didn't know my situation, and that just was just what I needed to hear. God can do that, and that's very cool when that happens. God can work in inanimate objects like clocks and or animals like donkeys. He can give you a gut feeling, and gut feelings can come and go. A lot of those can come from our minds, from our emotions. But you know what? God can work in that too. And what that can do, what that could be, is Him speaking to your heart. To where you don't really know why you think you should do something, and you're praying about it, and you just feel like this is the right thing to do. I don't want to say you should base your decisions on that, but God can certainly work in those ways. Word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is getting information from God. Word of wisdom is specific instruction from God, like walk, move forward, go to the right, go to the left. What was that movie that we saw? Eagle Eye.
Oh,
yeah. Eagle Eye. Awesome, awesome scene in Eagle Eye. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Where they're driving, and the Eagle Eye lady on the phone is like, stop, okay, keep driving. And it was every second, the light would turn green. Yeah. Drive straight, turn now. And she turns, and it was perfect timing. And that scene, we watched that, and I was like, oh, that's kind of freaky that this lady is telling her. And then I looked at Rich, I was like, oh, God can do that with us. Right? If that lady would have told the person driving, okay, you're going to drive 300 feet, then you're going to turn right, then you're going to stop suddenly after 3 seconds, she would have gotten it wrong. And that's how we are sometimes. Again, here I go with people are stupid. But really, we are so limited by our mental capacity that God can't tell us all the time. If it's something specific He needs us to do at a specific time, He can't necessarily tell us everything to do to get to our quote-unquote destination or our decision or whatever. Sometimes it's just go straight for now. I'll tell you when to turn. And it makes it fun. It's exciting, some chase movie. If you haven't seen that movie, anybody that is listening ever, rent it, Eagle Eye. And think of God with that scene. So, let's see, what do we have? He can lead you to specific scripture. He can work in another person to knowingly or unknowingly show you answers. He can work in inanimate objects and or animals. Gut feelings, speaking to your heart, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, visions in the middle of the day, dreams at night. I've had God show me things about my heart in a dream at night. And I woke up and God showed me exactly what it meant. It's very cool. He can speak in an audible voice. He can send an angel. Or even the Lord himself can appear to you. I don't know people that it's happened to, but it's absolutely a possibility. So if we think that God is limited by our hard-headedness, okay, God can send Jesus Christ the Lord to appear before us. So he is absolutely not limited. He can use several of these all together. He can use every single one of these until we get it. This is my last example. He can make the stars align as if they were a neon light show, flashing your name with sirens so loud you thought you were in a fire truck factory. That was my own example. I don't have any scripture to back that one up. But you know what? He could do that. He could absolutely do that. And then... oh, yes, this is a really good point. I thought this, you know, another struggle that I think we have sometimes with trying to hear from God, which shouldn't even really be said because we never really are trying to hear from God. We seek God, and it's his responsibility to get through to us. We should never say, I'm trying to hear from God. But anyways, think about this. It really doesn't matter if you know it was God or your own thoughts. You know, we struggle sometimes and say, well, I think I should do this, but I don't know if it's my own thoughts telling me that or if it was God showing me that. I don't really know. You know what? It doesn't matter, and I'll tell you why. Because it only matters that you came up with the right answer. You know, why would we get into a fit whether or not it was God telling us or our own mind telling us? God tells you to ponder. We're supposed to be trying to figure it out. So whether it's us figuring it out or God working with us to figure it out or God directly just giving us the answer, the point is we know what we're supposed to be doing. We're not struggling to figure it out. God's working with us to figure it out. So we really shouldn't... if we're going back and forth with, I don't know if it was my mind or if it was God, then we go back to seeking God's help. We go back to pondering it. Because the point is the answer, not whether or not you're hearing from God well enough. So, what I want to do is, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we've got 6 verses to read. Really, the whole Bible is a book about God working with people. The whole book is, this is how God worked with this person in this situation. The whole book is. It's not a book about people walking with God. It's a book about God working with people. So we've got 6 examples we're going to look at of different ways that God has worked with people to give them the answers. So I want to have us all like go to a verse, and then we can read it so that we all aren't flipping everywhere. So, Rich, why don't you take Numbers 22:28. Rob, you take Daniel 5:5. Sarah, you take Acts 21:4. Okay, go ahead, Rich.
Numbers 22:28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these 3 times?
God opened the mouth of a donkey. Imagine Bella. I really cannot even imagine that. But you know what? If God had to open Bella's mouth to tell us something, God would open her mouth. I wonder what her voice is like. Don't do it. Rob, Daniel 5:5.
In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote.
So God made a hand appear and write on the wall. Pretty outrageous. Sarah, Acts 21:4.
And finding the disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem?
So this one is other people telling Paul. I didn't read that record this time through, but if I remember right, God told Paul not to go to Jerusalem, and he didn't listen. So God told other people to tell Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Yeah, several other people. Which is another reason why it's great, even if we're not faced with some major decision, to still be looking to God for what we should be doing, because we could be getting information to tell other people. This one I forgot to look up the verse, but Cornelius, the vision of the four-footed beast coming down.
And Peter?
It was Peter.
Peter the Gentile?
The sheep, four corners of the sheep
right.
Came down.
Right.
As he was sitting on the
rooftop. He was sitting on the rooftop to pray. And as he was praying, very cool, as he was praying, he had a vision. You know, there's that saying that God can speak to us at the most likely and the most unlikely of times. Well, you know what? Prayer is probably the most likely time for God to speak to us because our thoughts are already directed towards Him. We're right in the middle of, not necessarily always in the middle of asking Him about that specific situation, but that is really the most likely time for God to give us an answer is right when we're asking Him.
Acts chapter 10, verse 11.
You want to read it?
He saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto Him, and there had a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. 12, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So God can show us visions. You know, it's not something that happens every day, but absolutely God can do it. Okay, we're going to take one more round of verses here. Rich, you do Luke chapter 6, 12 and 13. Actually, I'm going to have you read that one last. Let me read that one first. Rob, you take 1 Samuel 9, 15 and 16. And Sarah, you take Proverbs 21:1. And I'm going to read Exodus 2:5. Exodus 2:5 says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maiden to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. So you might be thinking, what does this have to do with God leading? Well, you know what? The daughter of Pharaoh was, I don't know if it says it or not, but I would imagine she was not a God-fearing person. So, again, driving this point home, if we think God is limited by us to get through to us, if we're seeking God, okay, the daughter of Pharaoh was not seeking God, saying, God, what time should I go take a bath in the river today? And waiting for the answer and then doing it right on cue. God was directing her steps so that she was at the river's edge at the exact moment that little baby Moses in his little basket happened to be floating by that she saw it. That could have been like a 2-minute span. I mean, we think about like the wise men, and they happened to be seeing, they came to where Jesus was right when he was in swaddling clothes, and from what we know, that was only a couple of minutes. And I'm sure they weren't stressing out what time they should stop and rest and how long they should stop and rest, but God was directing them all the while. Okay, let's, Rob, read your verse, 1 Samuel 9:15 and 16.
Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me."
God is really cool. God told Samuel in his ear. That's cool. You know, if there's a lot of noise going on, like you think of a really loud party, and I'm like shouting across the room and Rich can't hear me because there's so much noise, that's how I think we have a perception of having to get our minds so peaceful and quiet that we can hear God. That he's across the room and our minds are this big loud party going on and he's across the room whispering to us. No. Because if I'm in the middle of that party where there's so much noise going on and Rich needs to tell me something, what does he do? He comes up to me and he speaks it in my ear and I can hear him. Regardless of how much noise there is, I can hear him. He's speaking in my ear. Okay, Sarah, Proverbs 21:1.
The king's power is the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whatsoever he will.
Can you read that one more time?
The king's power is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whatsoever he will.
So God can direct our hearts, too. This is not God controlling us. This is God directing our hearts, where it's that gut feeling like I was saying. God can direct our hearts to desire to do one thing over another thing. And it's not God controlling us because I can say, I really, really feel like I should be doing the dishes, but I really am just not going to. Our actions are still completely up to us, whether or not we listen to what we're being directed to. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is that God can direct our hearts. That's written in the Word, that God can direct our hearts one way or the other, that helps can help with decisions. And Rich, Luke 6, 12 and 13.
Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to him, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles.
Okay, another really big key. this is not really an example of how God worked with Jesus Christ, but if Jesus Christ took an entire night to pray over something, you know, sometimes we, quote-unquote, give up if we don't hear from God after we pray once. You know, God's Word says to continue in prayer. So if we have a decision to make that we're still unsure about, we continue to ponder it, and we continue to pray about it. Ponder and to pray, and to ponder and to pray, and to ponder and to pray. And God's going to work something out, because we're seeking Him, we're acknowledging Him, and those shalls, He shall direct thy path. It shall be opened unto you. He shall give you wisdom. Those are absolutes, and we just continue to seek and to pray, and God continues to do whatever of these things, or making the stars align as if they were a neon light show flashing your name, the siren so loud you thought you're in a fire truck factory. If he needs to do that, he's going to do it. He will do whatever he needs to do. That's his side. He needs to give you a vision. If he needs to give you a nighttime dream, if he needs to speak to you in an audible voice, he will do it. He will do it. We just continue to ponder and pray, ponder and pray, ponder and pray. Rich, could you read one more, Psalm 27:11? And then we'll close.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies.
We don't know what to pray for. Read it one more time. Lead me in a smooth path.
Yeah, this is the New King James. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies.
Teach me what to do, what's your will. Show me where to go. Show me the path before me, the straight path, the smooth path. We don't know what else to pray for. We say, show me. Teach me and show me the path before. And then Proverbs 16, we'll close here. This is kind of the clincher. It's just kind of funny that with all of our praying and pondering, this is the conclusion anyways. Chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his step. So it's like, you know what? We ponder, we use our wisdom, we seek the word, we use all of our resources to make the best possible decision. We pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and then pray some more. All the while, God is working in us, having the final word, able to direct each step at just the right time into the best decision with the wisdom of Christ, regardless of our hard heads. So, even if we're just pondering and we come up with a wrong conclusion, our heart can devise our ways, but really the Lord will direct our steps. So, yay to that. And that should leave us with peace. God does not control us, but He has limitless resources. When we ponder and we pray, there should be no doubt in our minds that we can walk forward confidently, regardless of if we know it's God speaking to us or not. The point is that we walk confidently in the right direction. And that can be every day of our life, with every decision we make. So I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for how awesome your word is, how it does really give our hearts comfort, that we don't need to feel like we need to figure everything out, although you gave us fabulous minds, absolutely awesome brains and reasoning facilities, God, that we can use your word and put things together and let your word guide our lives, Father. Just walking with wisdom, and we know that that I guess it makes you proud in a sense, God. But Father, we do absolutely just seek you with our hearts, and we want your will for our lives, whether it's already written down or if you can show us or guide us in whatever way that you want to, God. It makes our lives fun. And we just thank you for this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.